All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
And I wanted to just get your thoughts right here, Sean, on obviously the Bobby Kennedy stuff and the Matt Gaetz stuff. The media has sunk their teeth into both. I think Bobby Kennedy will get a lot of the coverage today. Matt Gaetz certainly was in the crosshairs yesterday. How do you think both of these are going to play out as far as being confirmed and also the meltdown from the mainstream media?
Well, Gaetz, I think, is going to be rocky. Even if there was no ethics investigation, he's a firebrand. The left doesn't like the way, you know, he speaks about different issues. They don't like the fact that he's been a steadfast ally of Donald Trump. He's been a defender of the J6 community. So Gaetz is going to be tough. I don't know if he can get through Senate confirmation, but there's always the option, I guess, of recess appointments. And I think Obama did that 130 something times. So for anybody who's going to get upset with that, Barack Obama did it a bunch. So, you know, why not? Right? Yeah. I'm just doing what he did. You tell me he's just a great president. We're just doing what he did. But I got to say, I think it's bold to nominate a guy like Gaetz. Right. Because he's, I mean, you know what he's going to do. You've heard him grill Christopher Wray, and you've heard him grill Merrick Garland. And look, I want to be very clear. I don't want the justice system weaponized against anybody where we start creating crimes.
Yes,
however, if lawbreaking has occurred, and after an investigation, a real investigation, not a bogus one where we're planting stuff or we're coming up with crimes, but a real investigation, if there was criminal activity or reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, by all means, you start indicting people because you have to hold them accountable. If we get through investigations and we find out that, you know, that there's reasonable suspicion of crimes committed and we let that skate, then nothing gets fixed. So I think Gaetz is one of the only people who would actually, you know, pursue that to the very end thoroughly. I love the pick. RFK, I think he'll get in. I think a lot of people will realize that this guy is the perfect person for HHS. You know, the FDA will now have to report to him because it's an agency within HHS. And there's a lot of issues with our food. I'm sorry. I've never seen this, and not just our food, right? I mean, Brennan, my wife, ordered a dress the other day, and we washed it, and it smelled. And we found out there's formaldehyde in it, right? Like, I mean, what are we doing with these? Why is there so many toxic chemicals in everything that we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it blows my mind. And there are people who are like, that's a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. Everyone's got a problem, right? Like irritable bowel syndrome, right? Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't think that was a thing, but now it is a thing because the stuff that we consume irritates our bodies. It's just, it's gross. There's mental health crises. You guys were talking about it before. One of the best ways to improve your mental health is to improve your physical health. Go for a walk, go exercise. When I would, you know, go sprint on the treadmill here in my apartment complex on an incline, it would clear my mind. I would be tired and, you know, sucking wind for probably the rest of the day, but I'd be in a happier place mentally because I just exerted myself on a treadmill, right? Ran.
Yep.
You know, it's these are things that we need to do. And you look at who's in charge of health now, like I said, Rachel or Richard or whatever you want to call him, Levine, you know, can't figure out what he or she or they, them is. And then you have Bobby Kennedy, who's out there, you know, bench pressing and pull-ups and, you know, talking about healthy food. That's the guy I want in charge of health in our country. So I think he'll get in. And I think he's dead serious about making things better. And I'm excited to see it because, you know what? We need it. No, I don't know any other country. Everybody's sick all the time. Uh-huh. It's disgusting.
It is. Sean Farris joining us live from Nashville, as he does every Friday here on Talk Radio 1210. So the mass exodus from social media has begun. It's bad enough that people have meltdowns on social media, record themselves crying, and then post it. But now you've got Don Lemon, you've got Joy Reid, Sonny Hostin, all of these individuals that have deactivated their social media account on X, and they're going elsewhere. And then as if it wasn't wasn't enough for Don Lemon to post a video announcing he's leaving and why he's leaving, he actually drafted a letter on official Don Lemon letterhead and decided to give you the written statement as well. I love this. I love the fact that people are so bent out of shape over an election that they're bailing because they can't stand it anymore. And it's like a mental health cleansing. Your thoughts on all of these ridiculous me, look at me, I'm going out the front door, try to bring me back moments.
These people are expecting folks to get on their hands and knees and please don't go. And what's really happening is, all right, see ya, right? These are the same people who complain that, oh, well, ever since Elon took over, it's an echo chamber. Okay, then don't leave. Because if you want to present a different perspective, then present it. Don't run away. And they're like, well, the right ran away from Twitter when, you know, Jack Dorsey ran it. Well, not really. A lot of us were sent away, right? Yep, right, a lot of us were suspended and banned. We didn't leave on our own accord. I stayed. Mm-hmm. It was brutal. I never got suspended. I got a couple of warnings or whatnot and, you know, the shadow bans and the throttling or whatever you want to call it. But I didn't leave. I used other platforms, but I never left, right? I never believe giving up is just, you know, in that situation, that's not the answer, okay, on social media. It's like it's these people complain that it's an echo chamber and then leave and make it an echo chamber. And they're expecting people to get on their hands and knees and beg them not to go. And then they're seeing that, like, you know, they're not as popular and like as revered as they think they are. You know, Joy Reid leaving was what was met with more applause than it was, you know, people pleading with her to stay. I don't know anybody who was like, oh, I really hope. Like, the only reason I hoped Joy Reid didn't leave X is because I love trolling her on that platform. Right. You know, like when Kamala's wins or whatever, that account, one of my favorite accounts, by the way, I love that account. They're so much fun to just, I love them. They changed to Democratic wins. And my favorite thing to do now is they're like, this is the leadership we need. I just post the electoral map. And I was like, no, this is the leadership. It's a lot of fun. But I don't want them to go. I like having, you know, opposing perspectives on X. And the difference between, you know, now and 4 years ago is old leadership was banning right wing voices. Now the left wing voices are banning themselves. Elon's not suspending anybody. He's not saying you can't say these things on X. You're very welcome to have these discussions on X. It is a digital town square. And I'll tell you this now. We learned the lesson, too, that social media, specifically the X platform, is the new media now, right? Like, they have a lot of people go there to get their news. Younger people are not turning on MSNBC. These folks walking away from that platform is only going to hurt them. They don't understand that. They think they're bigger than they're not. They're not. Joy Reid is not bigger than what that platform can do for her, right? Mm-hmm. It's exciting to see what happens. I hope she gets fired from MSNBC or whoever buys it, because it might go up for sale. Mm-hmm. Just looks at that and goes, yeah, no, we're not. Yeah. We're not continuing.
Right.
And her and AOC were on a show together, I guess, yesterday. Yeah. That is the Guinness World Record. I just reached out to them during the break. The lowest combined IQ on television history.
Yeah, that's an underreported story. He just said that Comcast is looking to shop MSNBC.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So I want to get your – and actually, let's stay on the media for a second, because MSNBC's ratings have gone in the tank since the election. CNN is at all-time lows. I saw some numbers. They were as low as they've been since 2000 or 2001. Oof. Do you think that all of these networks that, you know, built themselves up on bashing Trump have to pivot strategically? Because we know the Democrat Party has to. They're not going to. If you didn't win in 2024 saying Trump is the devil, Trump is Hitler, and Trump is a fascist, that message won't fly for the Democrat Party in 2028 against J.D. Vance or whoever. But does the media need to make a pivot, or can they, or is this like just one of these stretches where, you know, the ratings are going to go down, but as soon as Trump gets into office, the people that want their pound of flesh from the media on the orange man, do you think they navigate and gravitate their way towards back to, you know, both of these channels to get that type of fulfillment?
I think some will, but like when you have 54% of Joy Reid's audience disappearing after the election, it's just beautiful. It's delicious. Give me more of that. Inject that into my veins. Like, yes, sir, may I have another? I would just, it's really great to watch something like that happen. But, you know, I think I think some people will return back. I mean, MSNBC was already calling Pete Hegseth a white supremacist. So how much are they really going to change? Pete Hegseth, he's a known white supremacist. He's a known white supremacist. Why didn't I know if it's a known thing? Right. It is going to be par for the course. Maybe they'll tone it down a little bit because they're no longer the majority in the country. And this is what's really exciting, right? So everyone calls 2024 a political realignment. And I don't think the job is done. I think this is only the beginning. You may be seeing the end of, at least for now, of the woke Democrat Party. They're going to have to run towards the center because they just lost the popular vote. And that is something that not a lot of people are, you know, they talk about 312 electoral votes and all the whole electoral map thing. They just lost the popular vote. Mm-hmm. They have not lost the popular vote since 2004, George W. Bush. And the only reason he won the popular vote in 2004 is because of 9/11. And, you know, it was the wartime president, this, that whole thing. But they just lost the popular vote, which is usually impossible for them based off of past voting trends and the way demographics tend to vote. So everything has changed. I mean, the whole thing, they can't just pander to minorities anymore, expecting them to turn out in the cities and win, right? A lot has changed, and they're going to have to change their strategy because if they go back to the same well, the same method that just lost them the popular vote, It's only going to get worse. We will see how much responsibility they think, you know, they have for that. But I think the powers that be in the mainstream media and the Democrat Party understand this isn't a finished object, this political realignment. That might just be the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, 2028, if things go remotely well over the next 4 years, and I think they will, and let's say J.D. Vance is on the ticket, you know, Donald Trump won with, 51%? If it's possible, J.D. Vance pulls 54% of the popular vote. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves here for sure, but I don't think this realignment in 2024 is done. I think this is only the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this woke nonsense is over. It might explain why AOC apparently removed her pronouns from her Twitter profile, which caused a big stir yesterday as people realized, hey, what happened to she/her in her profile? Which is really, right. Which is really, really rich when you think about it, because we just played a clip earlier this week of AOC basically calling Kamala Harris a fake and a phony, right? Like, if you're not about the lifestyle, she said, of, you know, the LGBTQ plus and trans this and trans that, well, then why did you run on it? Now, all of a sudden, AOC removes she/her from her profile. I don't know. Maybe she had to take it down because she's pregnant. Who knows, right?
I don't know. But I think it's funny. It looks like she's pregnant, right? She's got that look. Okay. Fine. I don't care. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because if she had mentioned that, you know, because she started to look a little pregnant during, you know, before the election, she couldn't mention it, right? Because you would have a rabid segment of the people who follow her who would demand, as a symbol of, you know, unity with their cause, that she would have an abortion. That's how sick these people are. I think it would have happened if she came out before the election and said, I'm pregnant. You would have people saying, abort the baby and prove that you stand with us. That's as a ritual. I mean, this is the same group of people that put an abortion bus, mobile abortion clinic, outside their convention, right? And there were no reservations left. So it's kind of sad. I don't know what's in store now for the Democrat Party. Are they going to do a strategic retreat and kind of act like they abandoned the woke? But here's the problem. You have a bunch of entitled people. This is the participation trophy generation. It's like my generation, the millennials, who they don't know how to accept the word no. Right. And so if the Democrat Party says, yeah, you know, that crazy transgender movement, like, we tried, but we can't, like, they start to walk away, you're going to get extinction burst behavior. You know, if you teach your dog to speak and he barks and you give him a treat, well, he's going to keep barking because he's going to keep wanting treats. And when you stop giving him treats, he's going to start barking louder and louder and louder until you submit
or put him in a cage,
or you don't submit and the dog's going to go nuts. Yeah. Right. I think they're about to go nuts. So it's going to be fun to see, because I think the left wing cannibalism, right, the little Uncle Brosy stuff going on over there, they're starting to eat each other. I think that's going to be really fun to watch. So exciting for at least the next 2 years.
Hey, can I ask a quick question?
Of course, Dawn.
Sean, you had talked about, you were here locally and you've been involved with some events where there were people, nonviolent J6ers. We just saw yesterday a court proceeding in which we saw several judges, but one in particular who actually delayed the planned trial of a J6er, again, somebody who's a nonviolent accused offender. And we're learning about DOJ now issuing some guidance. This is all new, saying only go after those who hit cops. So anybody mm-hmm. with a misdemeanor, don't do that. But this was Will Pope. I don't know if you know.
Yep.
This is the Kansas
I know him
City.
Very well, actually.
You do?
He's actually a pro se defendant. He is defending himself. And this guy, if you guys are not following, if anybody listening is not following, he's at Free State Will on X. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's a very, very smart guy. And he has been defending himself in these proceedings. And yeah, he won. He got his court. His trial was, I believe, supposed to start on December 2nd.
Yes.
And it was adjourned. He has been kicking the you know what out of the DOJ by himself. And he's not a law student. He was some sort of engineering. I'm not exactly sure, but he's not a law student. He was going for his PhD. He stopped to defend himself. He's probably the most talented legal person involved in J6 and is not a law guy. He's just smart, right? And he's a pro se defendant, and it was Will Pope's trial. I heard about it yesterday, and I know Will Pope pretty well. He's a really cool dude. The J6 community, I'm going to say this, they need us more than anything right now. Okay. There are nonviolent offenders
hundreds.
Who have been, Captain Christopher Kune is another one. He was charged with civil disorder. I mean, didn't do anything violent. He was helping police officers and folks on J6 clean up. He asked them, what can I do to help? They nailed him with civil disorder. He is, he's currently serving in prison. His mother's taking care of her son, little Chris, who's amazing. Love this kid. And I'll tell you what, you know, he was dealing with it before going into jail. You could follow his wife on X, Annette Kune. But, his employer said, well, you're now a felon. You can't work for us. So they need these pardons. We need the nonviolent J6ers off the bat. They need pardons. And then you go case by case, okay, with the ones who have been convicted of some sort of violent act, and you determine what led to that violent act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see, look, we are a country that has to abide by law and order. If you did hit police officers, if you attack cops, we got to have a conversation about that. You can't tell me entrapment. I mean, in some cases, again, you go case by case, but you don't attack police. All right. You have to have self-control. And if you did, there's going to be consequences. Okay. And I think if we can return to being reasonable, we can say, all right, if you were assaulting cops, that's a problem and we should deal with it. Now we can talk about sentences and are they harsh and everything else. But the nonviolent offenders like Will Pope, like the late, unfortunately, Matthew Perna, who walked into the Capitol 30 minutes, had his cell phone, walked out. They hit him with terrorism enhancements. He killed himself. OK, he killed himself. And the Department of Justice told his aunt, Jerry Perna, well, if he had just held on, we would have dropped that charge.
Ugh.
I mean, what are we doing? This is what the DOJ has done to these people. And what I'm afraid of, and I don't think it's going to happen with Trump, right? I don't think he's going to forget, but I think the public pressure is going to shift to other things. The J6 community has been abandoned.
Yeah.
You're right. I've done a lot of work with Patriot Freedom Project. They're an amazing foundation. And they're not just focused on the defendants, but they're focused on the defendants' families. A lot of people hear about these guys and gals who are in jail. What about the moms and the children who have to spend the holidays without their fathers and their mothers, and their families are getting torn apart? We hear about separating families at the border. We don't hear about separating families over J6, do we? Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a great organization I work with, and they take care of these families. We got to be there for them. They deserve that. They stood up for us. They stood up for what we believe was a rotten election in 2020. They got a terrible deal from the DOJ. They've been mistreated, dragged. They've been put on no-fly list. Their families have been ruined. Their finances have been ruined. Their businesses have been ruined. We need to be there for them, and in a big way. I know I will. Will Pope is doing a great job, as you mentioned, Dawn.
Yeah.
And follow him on X at Free State Will. You'll get all the information you need. He's phenomenal, this guy.
So it looks like that his case, I mean, basically, this was an Obama-appointed judge who basically said it's not a good use of judicial resources.
Yeah.
Because it's a nonviolent. Yeah. He was cute. He's a good writer. He was clever. He wrote what happened. Then he wrote, unfortunately, the prosecutor's facial expressions won't make it into the court transcript. You know, so.
He has been kicking their tails. He has been kicking them in the nuts ever since he defended himself. I'll tell you what also with that judge saying not a good use of prosecutorial resources. Mm-hmm. They can't beat him.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They're going to be throwing stuff at the wall and none of it's going to stick. He was going to beat them. Mm-hmm. And if it continues, he will beat them. That's what it also means. It's not just that he wasn't violent. He's better than they are. And they know it. And yep. They're not going near it. They don't want to get embarrassed.
Well, yep. You know what? They, in so many cases, when I would read the court transcripts, they wanted to break these people. And you have men, and some served in the military and are cops. Yeah. And they wanted them to break down. They wanted to break them. And that was, to me, it was this vengeful situation where these were nonviolent offenders, walked in and walked around. In the case of Zachary Real from the Northeast, a wife and kids live here. His wife and daughters live here. He was not charged with any violence. It's that seditious conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
He's serving 15 years. You know, was sentenced with that. And by the way, was picked up here in Philadelphia right after J6 and has never been out since that time.
Sean, we got a roll. We got a paid segment coming up with Window Nation. I got to get to. I would chat with you for the rest of the show if we could. But great stuff, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend. Okay, pal?
We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. There he is. Sean Farish with us. Our veteran spotlight is coming up next, and it's a good one. And it's a guy that you are perhaps familiar with. We've chatted with him before, but his story is remarkable. But the story with DuckDuckGo, equally remarkable, because we're talking about you and your online privacy and the security that goes with it. Because let's face it, we are all guilty of putting our information out there and it comes back to bite us in the butt, right? But with the subscription service of Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo, that is no longer an issue. A 3-in-1 privacy service that'll give you, first of all, that's secure VPN anytime, anywhere. Secondly, they provide you identity theft restoration and, of course, the personal information removal, address, social security number, your age, your date of birth, all this stuff that goes out there when we make, you know, purchases, when we sign up for certain services. Take advantage of this special offer now. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210. You're going to get a free 7-day trial offer. And then after that, it's just $10 a month. Think about that. $10 a month to secure all of your personal information and have certain things removed. Do it today. duckduckgo.com/1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we continue our Talk Radio 1210 WPHT veteran spotlight, as we honor the greatest generation, the last great generation, World War II vets, and it's all brought to you by Window Nation. For all of your window and door needs, visit windownation.com. And today we speak with Helen McCoach, as she will talk about her husband, William McCoach. Helen, good morning. It is a pleasure to chat with you. How are you doing this morning?
Yes, good morning. I'm doing good.
It is so great to have you in and honor your husband, William, who was in World War II as a Marine, a corporal in the 4th Division, and a radio man who served in the Pacific. Let's talk about that stretch from 1941 to 1945. What are some of the stories that you recall hearing from him and some of the firsthand accounts that you can relay with our audience here?
Well, actually, he never talked much about what he went through because I think it was so devastating. He just did not want to reveal what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the 4th Division in the 1st Battalion, and he was in the 1st JASCO Joint Assault Signal Company. He was in charge of radio communications, and he battled in the South Pacific, Iwo, Saipan, and Tinian.
Roy Namur.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and he was awarded 2 Purple Hearts for Iwo Jima and Saipan. And he was a carpenter, a custom home builder known for the quality of his work. And he loved boating and saltwater fishing and deer hunting. And he enjoyed vegetable gardening and building furniture, being surrounded by family and friends, and having a good time.
Oh, that's a great life lived. And I thought it was very interesting. I was reading about how he apparently got 2 Purple Hearts, and then you throw in the Bronze Star as well. But one of the stories with Iwo Jima is that he's on the beach for 29 hours under attack, and he landed on the wrong beach and had to run to the right place to set up communication, all during and being under heavy fire from the opposition. I can't imagine what that is like when you're deployed and they set you up in the wrong position. I mean, you're off to a terrible start, and God bless the guy. He was able to deal with it and be able to succeed a little bit.
Oh, yes. I imagine that is why he never talked about what he went through. And he had no casualty in his platoon at that time. And yes, like I say, he went through so much, and he had so much shrapnel in his body.
Oh, wow.
And he was just devastated by all that he went through, that he would never talk to his family about what was going on and what he went through.
Mm-hmm. Post-military service, he comes back. You mentioned he doesn't talk much about it at all, honestly. What was the career of choice for him post-serving, and how did he kind of separate his military profession from his post-military time?
Well, he was a carpenter and a custom home builder known for the quality of his work. And he loved boating and saltwater fishing and deer hunting. He enjoyed vegetable gardening, building furniture, being surrounded by family and friends, mm-hmm. and having a good time.
Wow, that's awesome. Helen, thank you so much for the time today. It's always great to speak to anybody that had a relationship with, much less married to, somebody that served our country, World War II. William J. McCoach in the Marines, corporal in the 4th Division, and he served from 1941 to 1945. God bless you, Helen. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, thank you very much, Helen.
Yes. It's very important to me.
I agree.
All right, thank you very much.
There you go. Window Nation, for all of your window and door needs, visit windownation.com as we continue here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And now we welcome in our guest today, Josh Jabin. The name might be familiar, the voice, the visual. You've seen him plenty of times with the Travis Mannion Foundation. He is the Chief Operating Officer of TMF, and he's with us today for our veteran spotlight as we highlight those and their service from World War II. Josh, good to see you again. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
It's great to have you on. So let's just start with, you know, Veterans Day in general and how important this day is. And we've made it a week. We're going to carry it over into next week. But just the needs of this generation of veterans, because, and Greg has mentioned this, there's very few of these individuals that are left. I mean, these are men or women that are, you know, 97, 98, 101. Just how important is this for them?
Very important. My grandfather was a submariner in World War II, who was killed when his submarine was on its maiden voyage. And I can tell you that Veterans Day and acknowledging World War II is important not only to the veterans but to their families. To my mom, to make sure that generation is still appreciated. The fact that we have the freedom and the liberty that we enjoy today is on the backs of those previous generations of veterans and their families.
You know, the one thing I've learned this week, and I've learned a lot from speaking with so many of these veterans, and I still have more to speak with in the coming days, and we're going to continue this into next week, is upon returning, the ability, because, and we talked about this yesterday with Michael Steinberg, and we highlighted his grandfather, you know, they didn't either talk about it or they didn't know about post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, this is a generation of, you know, tough guys, and you just manned up and you didn't get into your feelings, and we didn't have all the spotlights on mental health. I just find it remarkable that some of these individuals could bottle it up for so long, and perhaps even when they perish, they never talk about what they experienced and the impact that it had on their mental well-being. And I know that's a big part of TMF.
Post-traumatic stress is a normal reaction when you undergo trauma. Our bodies are programmed to protect us. And whatever trauma you go through, it doesn't have to be military trauma. There's all types of trauma that people experience in life. And the body is programmed to defend us. And that's what post-traumatic stress is. It's normal. And that's my message to previous generations who maybe have never sought help or acknowledged that they have it, to modern day veterans who have experienced trauma and are experiencing any sort of unmet mental health condition. These are very normal reactions. Post-traumatic stress or other unmet mental health conditions like anxiety, depression, these are very normal things, and they're very treatable things.
Yeah, they really are. You mentioned your grandfather in World War II, obviously your time serving alongside Travis. If you could just give us a brief history of your family and their commitment to service, ranging from World War II up until today.
So when my grandfather was killed on the USS Escalar, my grandmother was pregnant with my mom. He passed a couple weeks before my mother was born, so she never met her father, and that really impacted her. And she had the typical story that she and her mother got the telegram in the mail. They didn't have organizations like they do today, like Travis Magna Foundation and others that are there to support our Gold Star families. They got the telegram, and that was it, and they moved forward with their lives, and that's really impacted my mother. We just celebrated her 80th birthday, and all she wanted to do was go up to New Groton, Connecticut, where there's a World War II memorial for submariners, and my grandfather's name and his submarine is on a memorial there. And she read us a speech that she had written, talking. I mean, it was I get like emotional just thinking about it. She I mean, she's carried this with her entire life. And when my brother, who's 8 years older than me, he joined the Navy my junior year in high school, and he told me, you know, the Navy took care of mom after her father died, and it's our job to pay the Navy and our country back. And he was the biggest influence on me going to the Naval Academy and eventually joining the Marine Corps.
Yeah. Josh Jabin with us from the Travis Mannion Foundation. The other thing I learned about a lot of these World War II veterans is once they came home and they found their next career, their passion, their purpose, that's obviously a big thing with the Travis Mannion Foundation, is the level of pride that they took in their career of choice. I spoke with a guy who was a painter. Another guy was a carpenter. Another guy was a home builder. And I feel like today's generation and the youth of today, they don't really take the same level of pride in their work. I'm not sure if you could talk about that with any of your family members that served, but I mean, these are people that are like, you know, hey, if I'm going to paint or if I'm going to build something or I'm a carpenter, if I don't get it 100% right, I'm going to do it over again until I get it perfectly right. I feel like that's a trait that is lost on today's society. You agree with that?
I think that veterans bring so much to the workplace, like you talked about, you know, that work ethic, that attention to detail,
yep.
That seeking perfection and really believing in your work and integrity, making sure that what you do is the highest quality, that you give people what they ask for. You know, I do think that that's a quality that we learn in the military. The military has very high standards, as anybody who has served knows. And I do think that's something that you take with you for the rest of your life.
Josh, a pleasure to chat with you as always. And before you know it, Radiothon will be here. I actually just received the invitation email a few days ago, Friday, March 21st.
That's right.
2025.
Yeah.
Before you know it,
Travis Mannion Radiothon. Well, we are going to, try and exceed $100,000. Is that what we raised for you guys last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, $100,000. And you're incredible partners. I just want to give a shout out to you and your team. The way that you support TMF and the way that you empower us to support the veterans and the families of the fallen that we support is just incredible. So thank you so much for all you do for us.
Thanks, Josh. We love you guys.
Thanks, buddy. There he is, Josh Jabin of the Travis Mannion Foundation. He is the chief operating officer. And, of course, a big thanks to our buddy Ed Donovan, the senior director of marketing and communications.
So we're going to continue this into next week because we've gotten an outpouring of support and interview requests. And these two that you're going to hear on Monday and Tuesday are actual, like, they're, one's 100 and the other's 101 or something like that. One's 98, the other's 101, like, still alive, still kicking. By the way, mentally, Kale could probably run circles around both of you and I.
Yes, and physically run circles around me, and then bench press me and throw me into the Schuylkill.
Yeah, so we'll hear about them. We'll hear from them on Monday to continue with this is actually Veterans Month.
That's
we're just going to do this for the entire month.
That's right.
Thank you to everybody who submitted a family member or a relative or whatever for this. The outpouring and the support of this has just been insane. And thank you to Window Nation for helping us do this and supporting this endeavor.
Yes, indeed. WindowNation.com for all your window and door needs. We will come back. We'll get to Today in Music History and what's on tap for the Dawn Show on a Friday morning. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this.
You know, my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs as well as innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their dealerships in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Just visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company here on a Friday morning. The only person that will be doing more running than Phil Omquist has been doing the last 3 hours, looking for printer paper and camera solutions, is our boy Jimmy Matthews.
Yeah.
Who's going to be running on the Arch Steps next Wednesday, correct?
Wednesday. He will be paying off a bet. He said that if Trump won, he would run up the art museum steps in his boxer shorts with Trump paraphernalia on. We have a Kale and Company 1210 WPHT flag that he will be carrying. It will be live 8:30 on Wednesday morning. Everybody needs to show support for Jimmy and come down there. He's being a good sport about this. He didn't have to do this.
That's right.
And thank you to our buddy Newman Price for this.
Kale and Company fans, this Wednesday only. Wednesday. 12:10 a.m. present the one and only Jimmy Matthews at the Philadelphia Art Museum stairs. You'll get to witness the man who voted for Kamala wearing MAGA gear. Despite his erroneous voting, Jimmy is making good on his bet. 8:30 a.m. this Wednesday, at the foot of the Art Museum steps in Philadelphia, PA. You've seen him talk smack in YouTube chat. Now you get to watch him make good on his bet as he laments Trump's 312 electoral votes. Can he do it?
Yeah.
Find out Wednesday.
That's amazing. Newman Price is the best. Thank you. So Wednesday morning, 8:30, go down there and show Jimmy some support.
That's right. I think we've given him time now to catch his breath because Phil Omquist, the printer was out of paper, so he had to print his script for Today in Music History in the mailroom.
I feel for him.
I do too, Merrill. Actually, Phil was running through the Odyssey hallways. There he goes as he just gave Dave Sculpin a just stiff arm. He's bobbing and weaving.
That was at 5:30 this morning
coffee.
When he walked in the door.
Unbelievable. Even Yadgarov cannot believe the dedication of Mr. Omquist. With that being said, let's get to
I
today.
I did appear, but here we go.
In music history.
On this day in music history. Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, Friday, November 15th, we celebrate the birthdays of Steve Fawson from Heart, who's 75, and Joe Leeway from the Thompson Twins, who's 69. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to Tony Thompson from the Power Station and Roy Clark from Hee Haw. Didn't mention that on in a while. Singles include The Gambler by Kenny Rogers in 78, Blackwater by the Doobie Brothers in 74, The Heat Is On by Glenn Frey in 84, Pink Floyd's Have a Cigar in 75, and I don't normally mention singles 2 days before the anniversary, but since Road Warrior asked me about a month ago, Highly Suspect released Blood Feather on November 17th, 2015. Albums include Saints and Sinners by Whitesnake in 82, Flashback from Joan Jett in 93, Homecoming by America in 72, Country Life by Roxy Music in 74, and License to Ill by the Beastie Boys in 86. Also in 1990, German producer Frank Farian admits Milli Vanilli didn't actually sing on their album. Big shocker there. In 65, the Stones made their U.S. TV debut on Hullabaloo. And in 1926, the very first network radio broadcast airs on the new National Broadcasting Company. But lastly, and this is really for Nick, on this day in 92, the Rock of Ages episode of Married with Children aired with, among others, Robbie Krieger from The Doors,
such a great episode.
Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and The Raiders, Spencer Davis and Richie Havens. They all form Old Aid with Al
so good.
And perform We Are the Old.
We are the old. We have arthritis.
All of that. Yep. Have a great weekend for Kale & Company. I'm Phil Upquist.
By the way, just in case you didn't know, Phil, your camera froze again.
Yeah.
What a shocker.
Oh, yeah.
It's been freezing all day. What a shocker.
You got such a weird look on your face there. Yeah. I think that's the way you look when you watch the Jets play.
Well, that may be true, but you know, at least I get the Eagles scores right.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. Phil Omquist today in music history as we pivot on over to Dawn Stensland to see what she has lined up about 6 minutes from now.
Yeah, there's so much breaking and so much developing. We do have the latest on J6ers, some encouraging news with that, more news with that to go on with that conversation. We have the largest union in Philadelphia. Are they on the verge of a strike, of going out on strike? This is your garbage collection, the water department.
Oh, no!
Huge, could be like a huge strike happening. We'll talk about that. Linda Kearns updating us. What's going on with the recount? We have new information on the big recount making national news. Obviously, Dave McCormick, Casey Jr., who refuses to concede. And there's so much going on. Oh, my gosh. We have the Lake and Riley opening arguments.
I'm watching that in here. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So they were doing procedural stuff, and we'll get into the heart of that and tell you what's going on. So we have that. And we have a great author coming up talking about, you've heard of QAnon and alleged, you know, right-wing conspiracies. What about the left-wing conspiracies?
Blue-anon.
Yes. You knew it.
I did. Look at me.
So the author of Blue-anon will join me at 10:30. Stacey Garrity, our PA Treasury, new treasurer reelected, taking a victory lap. Did she actually get more votes than Trump? Uh-oh. So we'll... setting new records. There's so much going on. We'll have all of it.
Okay.
By the way, everybody needs to stay tuned on YouTube for Dawn. And
thank you.
Yeah.
And perhaps Frozen Phil, who still hasn't moved in box four.
Like,
box four is always a tough box.
Can we fix this camera? What the hell's wrong?
Like, I have
are
no
we
idea.
A major market operation here? What is happening?
It's just unbelievable.
No,
I mean, really.
We can have five
Frozen. Holy crap!
You could, like, draw a mustache on him.
I like it. Oh, that's not right.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Dawn Show. She is up next. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6. And for the meantime, and if you're on YouTube, keep watching because Box 4 is frozen. And that's how Phil rolls on NFL Sundays. We'll see you.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.